joke. from my professor. Compliments my professor. It's cool. Is my first hour professor, Marvin. He's pretty funny. But anyways, it's about this guy. He goes to the racetracks. And my little disclaimer, we don't go to racetracks. but he went to the racetracks. Sorry. He went to the racetracks, and he noticed this priest.
Hey, you guys over here having a little conversation? Mark is speaking. Stop.
He went to racetracks, and he noticed this priest down at the floor, and he was blessing this horse. And every time he blessed a horse, that horse would always win.
Hey, I was there.
Yeah, I know. So the guy's like, hey, I got an idea. I should maybe bet on the horse that the priest blesses. So anyways, he goes and he bets on the horse that the priest blesses, and sure enough, that horse wins, and he wins a whole bunch of money, and the guy is really, really happy. And he's like, hey, this could really work. So the next race, he looks down, and this horse gets blessed by the priest, and he puts all his money on that horse. Well, he's winning throughout the whole entire day. He's got his whole bunch of money, like $5 billion, okay? Just pretend, okay? And he's got a whole bunch of money, and he notices his very last race of the night, and the priest is down, and he blesses his horse. He notices, and he says, okay, I'm going to put it all on that horse. So he puts it all on that horse, and the race goes on, and the horse, they get halfway through the race, and the horse falls over and dies. And the guy was just so mad, because he just lost $5 billion, and he was really, really mad. And he laid around for a little bit, and then finally left, and he noticed the priest as he was leaving. He's like, he stopped and he asked the priest, I couldn't help but notice that you blessed all these horses, and every time you blessed a horse, that horse won. So what happened to the last horse? And the priest is like, that's the problem with you Protestants. You can never tell the difference between a blessing and last rites. Okay, sorry. I thought it was funny. Okay, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. The title of my message is, Did We Forget to Go and Tell? Chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Mark, I told everybody before when you were out in the bathroom. Okay. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of whatever. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain, for he had often been restrained with shackles, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For Jesus had said to him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Then Jesus asked him, What is your name? He replied, My name is Legion, and you can just imagine, My name is Legion. Yeah, it's like that laughter.
Your professor told you never to say
N-whatever. I don't care. Where was I? Legion. He's like, my name is Legion, for we are many. Because, you know, it's not the guy talking, it's the demons talking through him. And he's like, he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country, because he knew that Jesus could do it to them. And, Now there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, Send us into the swine, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, could you imagine being filled with 2,000 demons? No, the guy. He had... Well, after they left the guy, they went into the swine because they didn't want to be fled from the country. And so Jesus said, well, you can go into those swine instead of leaving the country. I don't know. That's not for me to know. But could you imagine being filled with 2,000 demons? Wow. Not even one. Exactly. I should hope you can't even imagine being filled with one. And He rushed, okay, and they rushed down a steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. Okay, the swineherds ran off. The swine herd, that's what mine says, but herders ran off and told in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demonic sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and the very man who had had their name, the very man who had, I think I skipped a line. I'm on verse 16. Those who had seen what had happened to the demonic and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused, said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown to you." That's the important part. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Let's pray. Let's pray. And dear Jesus, we thank you for this day, and Lord, may you just anoint these words that I have to say, and may they be from you, God. And please just help us open our ears and our minds to understand what you're trying to say. Understand that we need to go and we need to tell others about you and what you've done for us, Lord. In your name, amen. Okay. Why? Okay, what has Jesus done for you? What has Jesus done in your lives? Think about it. Everybody, just stop. What has Jesus done for you? He has reached down in the miry clay and pulled you out and cleansed you with his blood. Amen. What has he done for you? He has done for me in my life countless things, amazing things. He never ceases to amaze me. And I guess I need to go tell more people about what Jesus has done for me. That is the title of the message. We need to go tell more people about what Jesus has done for us. That's not the song. Okay. Are we sharing Christ with others? Are we sharing Christ with others? Okay. Think about somebody in this room. Everybody knows somebody famous. That, like, everybody in the whole United States knows. Like, you hear that name and it's like, wow, he's famous. George Bush. Who else? Osama bin Laden. Alicia Silverstone. Britney Spears. The Pope. We need to go tell people about Jesus so Jesus can become famous. He can become famous. Turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 1.
Luke, you were 10, but now you're
famous. What, Shiloh? Yeah. You were thinking of a famous person?
Oh, I was thinking of a very good person. Do you
know Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Go ahead and read it, Josh. Okay.
Chapter 10, verse 1.
After these things, the Lord anointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face every city and place whither he himself would come. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed of him of their infirmities.
That's right. Okay, Luke chapter 5, verse 15. And Jesus became famous, and great multitudes came and started to follow him around everywhere he went because they wanted to be healed, and he healed them all. He became famous to all our friends. We should be like, hey, guess what? I know this guy. He's really famous, and he'll heal ya. When you stop and think about everything that Jesus has done for you, how could you not want to tell everybody about it? Amen, right?
Amen.
How How could you not want to stop and tell every single person that you see, hey, guess what Jesus did for me? Hey, guess what Jesus did for me? But I think we forget what he's done for us. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time, right? What? Did we tonight? No, we didn't tonight. Oh, next week, I think it's on the list. Yeah. We need to go before Jesus and prepare our friends' hearts so Jesus can work in their lives. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 this time. And it says that he had, he took like 70 men. He was on his way to Jerusalem for his ministry to Jerusalem. And he took 75 men to go before him into the cities to prepare his way. And we need to be like those men to go into the hearts of our friends at school and prepare the way for God to move in their lives. What if you don't go to school? We need to other people then. To people. We need to go to people. People in general. I know, I looked for it. The demonic thing is recorded in more than one, though. That's cool. Okay, also, most obvious, my next point, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What is our job? What is the Great Commission? Yeah. Usually we'll receive power from on high. We go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world and tell them. Tell them about what Jesus has done in your life. Amen. They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They told everybody what Jesus had done in their life. If you stop and you think about what Jesus has done in your life, just stop. Everybody bow their heads. What has Jesus done for you? Seriously, what has Jesus done for you? What's he done? Think about it. Get one thing really big that Jesus did for you besides your salvation. Now think about it. Is it so amazing that you can't keep silent? Is it so amazing that you need to tell everybody that you see? Even right now, do you want to just tell everybody that's all around you? Guess what Jesus did in my life? Guess what Jesus did to me? He saved me from sin. He forgave me. Kaylin, what did Jesus do in your life? Debbie, what did Jesus do for you? Ben, what did Jesus do for you? You know what? God saved my mom. Do you know what else? God is good. Can you stop and you think all the things that God's done for you, and you stop and you look back on your life? I mean, they're endless. The little things, the big things. The wide things, the tall things. He's so great. We need to go. We need to tell other people about what he's done for us. And we miss that point. We come to church. How many people were just saved recently? Kind of recent. Chris? When you got saved, what was your initial reaction? Was it, I want to go tell everybody about what just happened to me? Was it? Next day at work. Zach, guess what happened to me? this really cool thing happened at church last. No, it didn't happen at church. It happened with Craig. But this really cool thing happened to me. I was at church last night, and everybody was praying for me, and like they were all talking really weird, and these weird things were coming out of their mouth, and like, and I was healed, and I came out of the hospital a day earlier than what I was supposed to. 2 days earlier than what I was supposed to. And then I started speaking in this weird language too, and it was so great. You just gotta come. You gotta come. It's so wonderful. Does anybody get that reaction? Does anybody feel like they just gotta go and tell everybody about what God has done for them? Sometimes I do. Not all the time. There was a time I was like that, though. I was so excited, and I went to school, and I told everybody, come to youth group. It's so wonderful. I'm not quite like that as much anymore. And it's probably not a good thing. But what has God done for us? And the most obvious is he saved us. We're not going to hell. We are going to heaven. He forgave us of our sins in his infinite mercy and grace so that we can live eternally with him. And if nothing else, we need to tell somebody about that. Bow your heads. I'm going to challenge you guys tonight. I'm going to challenge you guys tonight to think about one person you want to tell about what God has done for your life. The other day, I was really down. I was feeling just horrible. I've been feeling really bad for the past 2 weeks. I don't know if you guys can tell or not, but I've been very, very depressed. And I was in my car listening to my radio, and my radio never changes from my Christian music. And I was listening to KTIS, and I just, the joy of the Lord just fell in my car. And I was so happy, and I just couldn't help but smile, and I just wanted to scream at the top of my lungs because I couldn't keep it in anymore. He never ceases to amaze me. The other day, I was in a bad mood and I wasn't feeling good. And I saw this car on the side of the road. And I pulled over to help somebody just to help them because I don't know why. And I get out. I says, excuse me, you need help? And the lady says, oh, hi, Mark. I said, hello. What a coincidence that I would see you here. It was Debbie McLean's mom. And it made me smile because the way God works is just amazing. And that same day, on my way the other direction, I got off the freeway to stop and help another car. And I pulled over and said, can I help you? And the person said, hello, Mark. What are you doing here? And her name was Jackie. And I don't know if any of you know Jackie. She's Nicole Trainer's cousin, but I know her. And it was just like, I was in such a bad mood, and I was thinking to myself, God, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of everything. I just want you, and I want more of you. And his way of showing me him was bringing me these people to help that I knew. It's just awesome the way God works. And I needed, even to tell you guys, I was waiting the whole time through this whole thing to tell you guys about how I stopped and help these people. And I was thinking, how am I going to incorporate that into my little spiel? But what has God done in your lives? What has he done? You know, some of you got stories about how you were alcoholics and drugs and girls and He took you out of that, and he saved you, and you're cleansed, and you're perfect now. And then other people have stories about how he placed me in a godly family, and he's kept me from the evils of this world. And he's shown me his love, and he's saved me and cleansed me. Same thing. The two people have in common is he saved you, he cleansed you, and you are perfect and whole by his blood. So I want to challenge you, one person, tell one person about what God has done in your life. Okay, look at me. Got somebody? It's kind of cool how all of you just look at me. I don't know. Anybody else just excited about what God has done in their life? You don't look too excited. Shiloh, you're a little overexcited. All right, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you have done for us in our lives. Lord, most of all, we thank you that you have cleansed us and that you have forgiven us through your mercy and grace and that you have saved us. But Lord, throughout the way, you've done so much more besides that. You have never ceased to amaze us. You are too beautiful for comprehension, too marvelous for words, God. Lord, we just love you. We just pray, God, that you would reveal to us people. You would show us people that we can share you with just with an overbubbling exuberance, God. That we can just go up to people and just be so excited for you, so happy for what you've done. We just can't keep it inside, Lord. Your word says that if we cease to praise you, the rocks will cry out, God. Well, help us to cry out. Help us to just share you. Lord, we just thank you for everything that you've done for us. Just bring new stuff that you have done to our eyes, Lord. Help us to realize everything that you do and have done. In your name, amen.